you are when you drive for a distance. And part of it is we just want something to drink. We get a little thirsty. Frequently when we stop, we will get a little treat of some kind. And all of us want to be the kind of people who are wise about the things that we do. The problem is that it seems sometimes that any chain, you know, as they say, is only as strong as its weakest link. I'm usually that weakest link. And I will, because my body has been a bit more tolerant to this than some people, I will get like a Hostess cupcake. Oh, yeah. Those things are good. Or something else, maybe a oatmeal cream pie. Yeah, okay, these are good. My friend David will say, "Man, Mark, you flung a craving on me." Next thing you know, he's got one too. I flung a craving on him. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have to have somebody else fling a craving on us. We've got cravings usually already. Last night, Dana and Bauta have been out of town. Alex is in the dorm. And I'm home by myself, which is very dangerous. You know, I'm liable to paint the cat or something like that. I'm just looking for something to do. I did not paint the cat, by the way. I just like to go on record. But I'm in the house last night. Dana and Bauta are driving home. It's going to be several more hours. And I'm feeling a craving. So I'm thinking, what can I have? I'd already had supper. I shouldn't want anything, right? But I did. And so I got to looking around, rummaging around in the camp, in the cabinet, and I found a package of oatmeal chocolate chip cookie mix. Problem solved. So I get the thing out, and I get a stick of butter out of the cabinet. You know, you got to love anything that the first thing on the recipe is a whole stick of butter. All right. And then an egg. And I put it in there with that mix. And I mixed it up real good. And then I laid myself out an undisclosed number of cookies on the cookie sheet, which I intended to eat all of. Because I don't make the whole batch at once. I like them when they're soft and doughy and gooey right out of the oven. And so I made this number of cookies and put them in that after 10, 12 minutes, they were ready, and I got them out, and I ate them, and I was happy. As happy as a person can get when they have oatmeal cream, oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. And so I did that, and it was good, and I was doing some reading. And but, you know, after a while, that wore off. That happiness wore off. You didn't think that would happen. But even I am not so undisciplined as to go back and make myself another batch of cookies. So I had popcorn. And it sounded so good, and sure enough, it was good, especially with the salt and butter that I put on there. You know, we all crave things, don't we? They're things that we just want. God made us to want things. This is not an accident. This is not a part of the brokenness that we sometimes talk about that exists in the world. The fact that we want things is natural. God made us to want things. But God cares about what we want and how we satisfy those cravings that He built into us. Much of the teachings of Jesus and much of the teachings of the New Testament focus on how we appropriately satisfy our cravings. Now, the text for today's lesson comes from Matthew chapter 5. This is a part of the Beatitudes, and the ideas that are a part of the Beatitudes are big ideas. They are general in their scope. This one reminds us that the only way to really find true satisfaction in life is to crave the right kinds of things. As it turns out, oatmeal chocolate chip cookies do not ultimately satisfy even my physical cravings. If I'd have been awake a few more hours, I might have wanted something even beyond the popcorn. That's in the right category of ways to satisfy a hunger craving is by eating something, right? That may not have been the best things for me to have eaten, but nonetheless, when you're hungry, you satisfy that by putting something in your mouth, swallowing it, and finding at least some measure of satisfaction. But there are a lot of cravings that we experience as human beings that cannot be so easily satisfied by physical things. Yet I fear sometimes that's the only place we know to look. We look for physical things to satisfy cravings that are not of a physical nature. We look to things or to people to do something for us that can never satisfy those kinds of cravings. So, the first question I think we need to ask is, what do I want? What do I really want? And to answer that question, we need to be honest, and we need to admit that sometimes we want things that are not what we ought to want. Right? I wish I could say that every time I wanted something, it was because that was the very best thing for me to want. Sometimes it's not. As it turns out, oatmeal, chocolate chips, and popcorn are probably not the best thing in the world for me to want physically. I'd like to think that they're reasonably benign. And I noticed that I did wake up this morning after having eaten those things. I suppose there are things that I could have craved that would have been even worse for me. But I'll have to admit that sometimes I want things that I don't want. This happens in other areas of my life as well, doesn't it? Does it to you? Sometimes I want a relationship, for example, but I may not want the relationship that I ought to want. Maybe, this is in the Ten Commandments, so it's pretty foundational. The Lord seemed to realize that sometimes we might want a relationship that we ought not have. We might want a relationship with somebody else's spouse, for example. It's wrong. We shouldn't want that. We do, and it is an outgrowth of a natural craving that God has placed within us, but it has been allowed to cause us, that craving has, to want something we ought not want. We might want other kinds of things that would not be good for us. We might want recognition, fame, the accolades of men. Jesus, later on in this same Sermon on the Mount, is going to come back and talk about worship. He's going to say, if you fast or if you give or if you pray in order to satisfy that craving, you're wanting something you should not want. So we need to ask and be honest with ourselves about what it is that we want and whether or not that is the thing that we ought to want. Because it's possible to want things that we shouldn't. But there is another question that I think we need to answer, and it's the one that I'll spend the rest of our time on this morning. And the question is, how do we go about satisfying our cravings? How do we find what we want? Are we seeking true satisfaction? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. Now, he says those words from a backdrop of experiencing lack of satisfaction in ways that we can identify. At times when he would like to be comfortable, but he was uncomfortable. Times when he would like to have been filled, but instead he was hungry. Times when he'd like to be pain-free, but instead he experienced pain. Times when he would like to have had the security and stability of knowing that all of his needs were certainly taken care of, but instead he found himself in doubt about those kinds of things. And yet he's able to say, I am, if you'll pardon the extension of the translation here, I'm satisfied. I'm good. I have what I need in order to be content. Now, why is it that he's able to make a statement like that when he has experienced lack, or he's experienced things that are in direct contradiction to that which he might otherwise have sought? How is it that he's able to do that? Well, can I suggest to you that it's because he is seeking satisfaction, seeking contentment in ways that are appropriate. So, let's think about this. Again, in this same sermon where Jesus mentions these Beatitudes, he says, in a very familiar passage, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these other things will be added to you. Now this statement comes on the heels of Jesus' discussion about the anxiety that we so frequently experience. A frustration because things are not going as they should. Times when we want or crave a certain thing and it doesn't get delivered. Jesus says, rather than become anxious or upset about the things that you wanted but you didn't have, maybe we need to back up a step and start thinking about the kinds of things that we want. It really is a central piece of what I want us to think about today, to consider the prospect that we might actually change what we want, that we do not have to want the things that we want. For most of us, that seems entirely foreign because we just feel like the things we want are just the things that we want. But we have been beyond the natural physical cravings that God has endowed us with. We are mostly conditioned to want the things that we want. We want them because we have come to expect them, because we think that that's a normal thing to want. We want the food that we eat. Well, we need food. God has put that craving within us. But we don't need to want the things specifically that we want. I don't need to want oatmeal, chocolate chip cookies, and popcorn. I have conditioned myself to want those kinds of things. I suspect there's probably some physiological underpinnings to that that cause me to prefer certain things over others. I don't know enough about the science to speculate on that. But what I do know is that I could, and I have in my life, trained myself to want some things that are different than the things that I used to want. I want them maybe on a different level. See, my tongue and taste buds want the oatmeal chocolate chip cookies and the popcorn. But that's not the only desire that I have in my life. I also want to have I don't care how long I live, but I'd like to be in reasonably good health for as long as I live. And so there's another level on which I want other kinds of things, things that do not maybe appeal to my taste buds quite as well as the oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. I have the opportunity to submit my wants to higher order values. Some of you have heard me talk about, we went to Slovakia. I have been historically quite a picky eater. Much to Dana's chagrin, I suppose much to my mother's chagrin as well. I like the things that I like. Maybe you do too. After we had been in Slovakia for a period of time, friends of ours, Mark and Debbie Hooper, who had lived in India for a number of years, came over for a visit. And at that time, Mark confessed to me that he had been worried about me going to serve as a missionary. Now, there are probably a lot of people worried about me going to serve as a missionary for a variety of reasons. But what he said was, I was afraid because you were such a picky eater that you would go over there, you would go to somebody's house, they would serve you something to eat, and you wouldn't eat it, and you would offend them, and you would become, over a period of time, ineffective. And I said, well, Mark, let me tell you what I did. Before I went to Slovakia, I prayed to the Lord. And I prayed a version of the prayer that I'm about to recite to you right now. Dear Lord, I hereby offer you my taste buds for the next 5 years. And I commit to you that I will eat whatever is set before me, giving thanks, and that I will care more about my influence than I will my taste buds. What did I do? And by the way, I was able to do that. I ate just whatever was set before. I didn't always like it. I have a very well-developed gag reflex. And that was tested mightily during that period of time, especially since they don't give you anything to drink with your meals most of the time. They give you water or tea or something at the end. I found out you can shove nearly anything down with a good old hunk of that thick bread. And I'm thankful for that. But the point is, I made a decision about that because I cared more about my influence than I did about my taste buds. I care about my taste buds. And most of the time, I don't have to make that choice, so I just let the taste buds drive the ship. But we need to be challenged to think about what we want and to care more about the things that we ought to want, maybe more than the things that we might be naturally inclined to or socially inclined to want. in our lives. Jesus says in this text that's on the screen behind me, we have a choice about the things we value enough to seek. We have a choice about that. If those things can be conditioned socially and in other ways up to this point, then they can be reconditioned. We can make a choice about what it is that we want and thus what it is that we pursue. Later on in this same sermon in Matthew chapter 7, ask, Jesus says, it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. This reminds us that we have a choice about what it is that we seek. Not just what we want, not just what we crave, but what we do with those cravings. That we can find satisfaction. Even when the thing that we are seeking is not the thing that we might be naturally inclined to seek. And I think that's the reason why Paul is able to say what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He has learned to care about some things that he might not otherwise have cared about more than the things he is naturally inclined to care about. Therefore, he sought them. He sought them and he found what he needed. You do not hear Paul complaining here. On other occasions, he makes long lists of the trials that he has experienced and the difficulties that he's faced. But you never hear him saying, I wish my life would have been different because I really cared more about those things. Quite the contrary. In the context of every one of those descriptions of the challenges he's faced, he's always saying, but I cared more about something else and I pursued it. Jesus here, in this text that's on the screen right now, tells us what's important to him and calls us to care about those same kinds of things and then to pursue them. We will always do what is necessary in order to accomplish the things that we really care most about. I don't particularly care to bake, but I wanted those cookies, so I made them. I did what it took. It had been easier for me to sat there in my chair and not gone to the trouble, but I wanted it enough that I did it. Same thing's true of a lot of different things in our lives. I could go down and make a list, and you could too, of things about for which you have expended energy at times when it would have been easier to sit. Things that you have intentionally done that you would not have normally been inclined to do because you cared enough about those things in order to make that happen. Ask. Seek, knock, follow, once you have determined what the things that you really on a higher level ought to be craving are. Once you've determined that, pursue those kinds of things. It convicts me, the statement that I'm about to make. If I spend very much time with you at all, I will know what is important to you. And I don't have Jesus' ability to look into the heart. I just want to see what you pursue. How do you spend your time? What do you talk about when you get to determine the nature of the conversation? By looking at those things, I will know what you value. I will know what you crave. So, crave those things which are of a more important character and nature. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says, If then you've been raised with Christ. There is an assumption that's made here that the things that the Colossians are going to want to do are shaped by something that has happened to them. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Jesus, on a couple different occasions, resurrects someone from the dead. Jesus is not the first, and he's not his own first resurrection. He has raised others from the dead. The apostles do a couple more of these. On every occasion, there's something that's not given a great deal of attention, but I think is really, really important. And that is, on every one of those occasions when people are raised from the dead, they stop living in the graveyard. They don't belong there anymore. There is a necessary and obvious change in their activity as a result of this change in their life. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. our lives should reflect through our seeking those things that we value. In Romans chapter 2, Paul speaks of judgment. But I want you to see something that's embedded in this passage that's an additional element. Paul says, He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. Did you catch it? You got what you looked for. I tell my students sometimes on the first day of class, I'm not sure how much they remember about this. I know when I went through school, the syllabus was one of the most fascinating things that I'd ever seen. Okay? I'm joking. So I don't know how much they remember that, but I make this statement about what they can expect in the class. I say, it is a strange form of insanity to do average work and expect above average results. Right? So if you want an A, pursue it. There's a real good chance you'll get it if you're really serious about pursuing it. But it is not reasonable to do just average work, just get by, and think somehow or another that at the end somebody's going to pull a rabbit out of a hat and you're going to end up with an A. It just doesn't work that way. You get what you pursue. And for us, Paul says, if you seek glory and honor and immortality, guess what? You're granted eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. It's not my intention to make this about earning our salvation. That's not the point. The question is, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing glory and honor and immortality? Is that the cravings that you have sought to satisfy? Or are we more self-seeking? Are we satisfying the flesh, pursuing unrighteousness, allowing those things to dominate our cravings and then our pursuit of satisfaction? When I first began preparing this lesson, and lessons evolve as the preparation goes on, sometimes even after I submit the title. Some of you may have noticed that the title I put on the screen a few minutes ago is not the same one as was in your blue sheet and in the bulletin, though it's related. I started to entitle this, Are You Hungry? Because Jesus says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. By the way, several years ago I did one, Are You Thirsty? From John 4. But then I realized that the answer to the question is yes. Of course you're hungry. And I don't just mean because it's 11:30 and you've got a roast in the oven. I mean, all of us crave something. So the two questions. Are you hungry for what you ought to be hungry for? Will you accept responsibility for what you crave? And then the second question is, what are you seeking? Can I suggest to you that they are the same question? That you will undoubtedly seek what you're hungry for. Crave righteousness. For those of us who seek through our devotion to God to transform our minds in renewal, it is critical that we learn to crave righteousness. That we want that more than other things. And that our lives will reflect the pursuit of that righteousness. It's a simple challenge for this week. Let's work on our values. Let's work on that which we are going to elevate to a position of primary importance. Let's crave righteousness. Right now, do you crave righteousness? You have an opportunity to respond to the message of Jesus, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you a Christian? I mean, I can't say it any more simply than that. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ person? Somebody who has given himself or herself fully into allowing God to change the nature of our requests? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that when we are immersed in the waters of baptism, that it is an appeal to God so that our conscience can be shaped, so that our thinking can be changed from that point on. Have you done that? Are you struggling on the weight of your own self-gratification? Where you have, generally speaking, allowed yourself to be your own boss? Jesus would have you come under His mentorship. Is there some step you need to make in the Lord's direction today? If there is, we want you to do that, and we pray that you will as we stand and sing together.